Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, John Schwab here, and welcome to a very special episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, episode 4 of our Come From Away series, Welcome to the Rock. Rarely have we had the opportunity to take you on a real deep dive into a show like we will be doing with this series. In this episode, you'll hear from the creative team and cast members from the West End, including Rachel Tucker, playing Captain Beverly Bass.
We are in such a successful, beautifully told show.
Producer John Brandt.
Oh my God, I saw Come From Away yesterday, and there was an immediate outpouring of love and respect for this show.
Director Christopher Ashley.
This cast, Bodies and Mouths, tried to take them to Ireland. Getting it specifically Newfoundland enough was challenging for them.
And many, many more. And if you didn't already know,
Come From Away tells the true story of when 38 planes and thousands of passengers were diverted to this tiny community in Newfoundland on the northeast corner of North America. And people were invited into the locals' homes. They were given everything, fed, housed, and people changed their lives there. They fell in love. They made lifelong friendships. And it's this extraordinary story of kindness set against the backdrop of this terrible tragedy.
You just heard the voice of David Hine, one of the writers of Come From Away. But how do producers take a musical about a story of a small rural community on a Canadian island from Broadway to a European premiere in Dublin and then a West End premiere on its way to Olivier Award glory? Find out in this series of Welcome to the Rock.
Welcome to the Rock!
Come From Away shares the incredible real-life story of the 7,000 airline passengers from all over the world who were grounded in Canada during the wake of 9/11, and the small Newfoundland community that invited these Come From Aways into their lives. As uneasiness turned into trust and music swirled into the night, gratitude grew into friendships, and their stories became a celebration of hope, humanity, and unity. As you heard in episode 1 of this series, Come From Away is a show with humble beginnings. First as a college theater festival workshop production, followed up by productions on America's West Coast, before heading off on an extended pre-Broadway tryout tour. And in the last episode, we discovered from Junkyard Dog Productions that they didn't really know what the show's trajectory was going to be.
We did not have a Broadway plan in place.
Well, I think every show is different. You sort of, part of hopefully your job as a producer, figure out what that path is for each of those shows to give it its best chance.
It did hit Broadway in a big way. And today is one of the most popular shows on the Great White Way. But the producers didn't sit on their laurels. A U.S. tour and a Canadian sit-down were on the cards. But what about a West End transfer? Surely Broadway success meant a show in London.
Well, as you know from our trajectory in New York, we took our time. We felt it was important to have the show out there and building momentum before we came into New York. We felt similarly that would be important for the West End, because even though we have had success in New York and had success in Toronto, there's no guarantee of success in London. And again, it's a tricky title. It's not a big blockbuster, so we felt like we needed to build some time in.
Junkyard Dog Productions sought out producing partners early on. John Brandt of Smith & Brandt Theatricals describes why he and his producing partner, Joe Smith, expressed their interest and also their desire to get it to Europe.
Well, what was really interesting is me and Joe, obviously there was a strategic element to why we wanted to be involved, and we wanted to be involved as at higher level as we possibly could. We opened in March, officially opened in March of 2017. And at that time, there was a lot of stuff opening on Broadway that involved UK people. So I think Charlie was opening, Groundhog Day was opening. So there were a lot of, around that, in that Tony Award period. So there were a load of UK people over there. And me and Joe didn't really think a lot about it. And then we started getting emails. We started getting emails from people like Playful, from other marketing agencies, from marketing agencies, from PR agencies, all just saying, oh my God, I saw Come From Away yesterday and I saw that you guys were involved. And there was an immediate outpouring of love and respect for this show. So actually, we didn't really have one eye on the West End until it opened, and there was this kind of groundswell that we just kind of rolled with.
But why did the producers decide to go to Dublin and not straight into the West End?
We wanted it to be authentic. We wanted there to be a reason. And we kind of honed into either something in Glasgow in Scotland or something in Dublin, because so much of the Celtic music, the language, but a lot of the people who arrived in Gander came from the port of Dublin or the port of Glasgow. So I can't remember how the Abbey came about, but we got in contact with the guys, and Neil spearheaded it really, and we went over and saw them. They had quite a similar showing at that time, which was a true story based around the Troubles in Ireland, but very early stages, but was actor Muso, and everyone was on stage. And we saw this production, and I remember turning to Joe about halfway through and saying, they'd love it here. It would really work here. Then we worked very hard to make that happen.
It also gave us the opportunity to bring some influential folks in, whether it was press for lead articles or group sales ticketing people, to give us a little bit of lead time on that as well. There was also another very practical reason, which was the reasons that we just outlined are the reasons why we wanted to go somewhere before London and why we were happily settled with our partners at the Abbey in Dublin. But the other practical thing that came about was that we had our entire creative team available to mount the show in Dublin, and given the schedule with the Phoenix Theatre, we would not have had them available to us had we gone directly into rehearsal to open at the Phoenix because of their schedules and working on other projects. So it also gave us an opportunity to fully rehearse the show with our original creative team when they were available. It's one of those things that actually, you know, we do this, you've been in this business long enough, you know when the gods are smiling on you and you know when the gods are not. So.
With the theater gods smiling on Come From Away, a West End transfer plan was put into action. But first, they needed to tweak a few things in the script for a European audience. The creative team discussed these changes.
There's a couple script elements that have changed bringing it across the ocean. We found out very quickly in the audition process that no one had any idea who Tom Brokaw was. And there was this story about the reporter character was phoned by Tom Brokaw, who was doing a documentary about it. And we very quickly had to figure out an alternative. But fortunately, Oprah Winfrey also phoned that reporter in Gander and didn't make a documentary, but did phone and left a message on the answering machine, which Brian Mosher and Newfoundland will happily play you because he has kept it.
Just phone him. Get him on Facebook.
For 17 years.
I'll do it. All the scenes on
the tube.
So we were, the discussion was, like, in the U.S. environment, the word tube means television.
Yeah.
And over here, we were concerned that the word tube would seem like the underground, But actually, when we tried to change it, the fix was worse. So, like, it was one of those things where the fix didn't read any better. And I think it is actually clear in concept. It's so clear that they're talking about television.
They're Americans talking about it. Canadians talking about it.
Somebody's holding a remote control staring at something that looks like a TV.
There you go.
Flickering light on.
we did help it a little bit.
We changed. Wish Kids didn't quite work in a UK environment, so we made it make a Wish Kids. Mobile phones was much clearer than cell phone over here, so we changed a couple little things just for clarity.
Yeah.
Some that we thought we would need to. What I found interesting in rehearsal was that they were like, "Oh no, we get it. We experience this knowing where these people are from." That seems to be something they're very used to doing.
Yeah.
Here, maybe more than American audiences.
Mm. Now the producers needed to start building a company, but it wasn't a straightforward casting. There were a few considerations that had to be noted.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly talked about before we cast the UK production, and like what are the strengths of the actors we cast both in London and in Dublin, different kinds of actors have played each of these roles. Like, if you put we have four companies up and running as of now, and if you put the people next to each other, a lot of times they don't look like each other, but there is something sort of about their home base personality that they share in common. And often there's a couple of very specific things, like to tell the story of the bus where a gander bus driver is driving a bus full of people from Africa who he shares no language with. You know, like there's a certain kind of ethnicity you need to tell that story. Hannah has been sort of all kinds of different people have played her. The actual Hannah is an amazing kind of Irish American woman from Long Island. Through the audition process, we ask people to do all kinds of different dialects and move and act and sing and improvise. So by the time we're done, you really have a sense of who that person is and you fall in love with them in the audition process.
The dialect also was sort of interesting because Joel Goldie's our dialect coach had to totally take it from a different perspective of finding it not from an American accent or a Canadian accent, but finding it from a UK accent. So I think that process was different.
I think the dialect was actually more challenging for the UK actors, the Gander dialect, because it's so close to Irish. And it's not Irish, but it shares a lot of sounds and a lot of vowels with it. So I do think that this cast immediately, their bodies and mouths tried to take them to Ireland. And getting it specifically Newfoundland enough was challenging for them in a way that a North American, ear hears Canadian, the kind of Canadian sounds much more easily.
Oh, they complained about it. The cast said to me, what did you do to us? Dumped us in Dublin. Told us, don't talk like that.
Don't listen. Particularly the Irish actors. That it was fiendishly difficult to get a dialect that's not that different from what you grew up with, but is actually different. Rachel and David both, I think, took them a couple of weeks to wrap their minds around it.
With the cast assembled, the producers knew what a pre-West End run would do for the company.
We did the same thing in Toronto. We went to Winnipeg before the actual sit-down production in Toronto opened. Part of it has to do with the cast as well. I mean, it is hard work what those people have to do and getting that show in their bones and being able to do it.
Yeah.
All the movement, all the things that they have to do over the course of that 100 minutes. And it's just a way of helping that cast become basically a unified whole.
A true ensemble.
Yeah, a true ensemble. And so by the time they all got to Toronto from Winnipeg or to London from Dublin, they were in magnificent shape. They felt very confident about what they were doing and they were having a blast.
The reason for going to Dublin was because that had worked so well that it had crisscrossed across America and also done these concerts in Gander before it came to Broadway. 200,000 people had seen it. And I think that word of mouth is really helpful. But also, this show is such a collaborative ensemble piece. It's important to take the cast away so that they can bond, so that they can discover these characters in a very tight choreographed framework. They can discover these characters and they can bond as an ensemble, because that's so important to what we see on the stage.
Cast members agreed and took the opportunity to get to know each other better.
Dublin was a good way for us to bond as well, because we were away from home. We did have the house parties and we did, you know,
we had each other, and that was
we
it.
We went around Dublin and did a lot of sightseeing, and it was a good way to bond and all get to know each other as well. All of us. It was a special time. Dublin. It's good. I loved it.
Yeah, beautiful.
Not every show that transfers across the Atlantic is well received on the other side. Were the producers concerned about how the show would land in its pre-West End tryout in Dublin?
In many ways, it is as much about getting the company and giving them the opportunity to play that show for a few weeks and get it in their bodies before then opening cold, rather than opening cold in a big city.
I always thought they'd get it in Dublin. I just did. I thought, because of the music, and ultimately, you know, at the end of the show, when the band come out and play, I always felt like that audience were going to enjoy that. But also, I think there's a lot of similarities, I think, between the people of Gander, the people of Dublin, the people of Ireland. Very open people, very proud people, very patriotic people. But you never know how they're going to respond to the actual story. So I thought they would always get into that, but you're never quite sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think we didn't know. I mean, I think we were all slightly nervous about it. The good news is that there had been a lot of folks who had been over to see it in New York from London and so forth, who had seen it, who were just felt that it would play really, really well in London. But again, until you get there, you don't know. And Dublin, we had no idea what that was going to be like.
The cast also had concerns, with many of them actually having played the Abbey Theatre in Dublin previously in their careers.
I must say, I found that there was a worry for me that they might find it. They might almost be not insulted by it, but a bit like, hold on a second, what are you
Irish
doing?
Irish jiggy jiggy music.
You know, it's this diddly eye music and funny Irish accents. That
are you taking the piss out a little bit?
Yeah. So that was my only worry about it. They were like, no.
So what was it like opening night in Ireland? Were the company's fears unfounded?
They went mental. I think the wonderful thing about Irish audiences, I've been very lucky to work there a lot, obviously, because it's home. And the wonderful thing about Irish audiences is that if they love it, they really love it.
And they'll show you.
And they will show you. And it's Dublin is all word of mouth. If they don't like something, no one goes. I've been in those shows. They don't like it, no one goes.
Just you.
Hi, Mom.
The Dubliners, they really did enjoy it, because it's got that Celtic feel. Yeah. They can relate to it. And I don't know if they spoke to you, but some of the guys, when you come out of stage, thought, it's like, the music is incredible.
Yeah,
it really
is. The music was always really mentioned, especially over there.
Yeah.
But that was the first preview where they took the roof off and they stood up, and that we now call it that wall of sound.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Bashes you in the face. Yeah. And it's a small theatre.
It was
right?
only 500.
400, 500.
Such a lovely space, because it was so intimate.
Yeah. Absolutely couldn't believe it. Very emotional, actually.
Yeah, I didn't want to take it. I was just like, okay, that's just the first night.
Yeah, that's
never going to happen again.
Yeah.
With how many months now? Five, 7 months in?
Five.
Every six? Single performance, that wall of sound comes.
The first 10, 15 minutes in Dublin, you felt and saw, we could see a lot of the audience, still can with a show, them sitting back a little bit, and then after about 15 minutes, when they know the humour, they know actually that we're not taking the piss out of anybody, this is actually what happened, and getting the comedy, they then really leaned in. And it seems to be a bit, that happens sooner here. Whereas Dublin, it felt a bit like...
I've never seen an Irish audiences like that, ever, really, in terms of just their... No. I've never seen audiences react like that at the end of a show, ever. I don't think they've ever seen it at the Abbey either, you know.
When we were in Dublin, because of the Irish-American connection, the Irish-Newfoundland connection, the language, the response we got, it's the same as we got here, but And you kind of understood that. You think, yeah, but that's understandable because of the and because of Irish music. Yeah. And I was very cynical. I thought, when we get here, you know, we've been with a false sense of security. Well, not very, because, you know, I've been on the block a few times. And so, you know, I thought, oh, no, London was, But boy, was I wrong. The response has been exactly the same.
I think the opening night, our first preview was our kind of opening night, but that reaction of the audience, the gut thing that
in Dublin,
it happened in Dublin, there were 500 people at the Abbey, and they all seemed to have an electric shock from the seat, and we have not experienced that before. No, it was a leap to their feet, and a real, it was not a... Oh, that's quite a nice play.
I tell you one thing that one of our producers said. The amount of men she saw crying in Dublin, she said, was unprecedented. Just from the openly sobbing, more than in New York. And in
it
the
also brought a whole new audience into the Abbey that had never been there before. We spoke to people all the time, because the nice thing about the Abbey was that the bar was open. You'd kind of just walk through the bar afterwards or go have a drink afterwards. So you'd meet the audience quite regularly. Mm. And so many people went, I've never been in the Abbey before, and this is just, I've never been anything like this before. Yeah. And they were like, I'm coming back, maybe not to see this show, but it was just wonderful because they couldn't get a ticket. So, it was wonderful for that. It opened up a whole new audience for the Abbey, which is
It was such a perfect theatre, wasn't it? In lots of respects, to start it, because of that, because we walked through the bar at the end of the show, we spoke to people. And it's amazing on this show how many people at the end of it want to tell you stories. And people who were directly involved, people who weren't, people, like, people want to share. Which is such a nice thing to bring out to people. And also, obviously, because it's such an intimate house in Dublin as well.
In fact, the show was so successful that members of the cast couldn't even get tickets for their families flying in just to see the show.
But it was phenomenal. We were like...
I couldn't get my family.
It was like
to
Wembley
see,
Arena. Neither did mine. I had to literally beg, borrow, and steal tickets because my family are all like, we'll go and see.
I know,
fine.
But we'll get tickets
to the Abbey. Be grand. Don't worry about it.
No,
and
so
of course,
so
last week they're going, can we see your show? I went, no, you can't.
It's so loud.
No tickets.
Yeah. I remember asking our company manager, two or three
in
weeks.
The tech room?
Yeah, can I get tickets for January? And he was like, no.
No.
I was like, No, January.
Next year.
My friends sat on, no word of a lie, my friends sat on the usher seats at the back. Mm. They flew from London, and him and his mum sat on usher seats at the back.
Come From Away transferred to the Phoenix Theatre in London's West End and opened to numerous 5-star reviews. And has there been a difference in audience reaction now that they're at the Phoenix?
The first preview was the most bizarre experience. Everyone went, it was crazy.
What was it? Welcome to the Rock. And we were a bit like, oh my god, it's like being in a wind tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
Just screamed and we couldn't get it.
Ever heard that noise in a theatre before?
Yeah, it was insane.
For the end of musical.
And that's end of opening. That was the end of the opening
number. The opening number.
And
in our first preview here.
Clive being like, okay.
Clive had to literally, because he speaks straight after the number, he had to kind of just like, guys, seriously, we've got a whole show to get through, relax.
He had to calm down.
Literally had to put his hands out and say, you know, anyway, show.
Safe to say that the European premiere and its subsequent trip across the Irish Sea was a complete success. But it turns out that one of the producers wasn't too worried about how well Come From Away would be received.
You know, I think one of the things that we have learned with this show is that the idea of kindness, humanity and kindness is a universal theme, the response to that, but also the fact that the events of 9/11 affected everybody on this globe in a way. And everyone has a memory of that day and nobody owns it, you know, everybody's got it. And even young people who were not alive at that time, we find, respond to the show because it helps them understand the world they live in. So we were not sure, of course we're trepidatious, but you know, that first audience in Dublin when they leapt to their feet and gave that kind of response. And it's funny because the cast, too, they're like, you know, we don't know what this is going to do. We have no idea.
Well, because a lot of them
had they hadn't ever actually seen the show. So it was a discovery for them, too. But it was, of course, it was thrilling for us to see that the response is universal. And the same thing happened in Melbourne this summer. It just reinforces the idea of a universal story, I think, of human kindness.
So there you have it, the story of the little musical that grew from a Canadian workshop performance to having its European premiere at the Abbey Theatre in Dublin, Ireland, before hopping over to the beautiful Phoenix Theatre in London's West End, where it opened to 5-star reviews on its way to picking up 4 Olivier Awards, including Best New Musical. Join us for the next episode, when we give you a front row seat to Come From Away's launch party at the Canadian Embassy in London, and find out why the team behind the show thought it was so important to have the European journey announced there.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.